This podcast is for mature audiences only. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back to From Crime to Crime.
Hey, buddy. How's it going?
Yeah, it's fine. I'm fine. Everybody's fine. Nobody cares. All right. So what do we have? Do we have anything special?
No. I was going to say Happy March or something, but I have no idea what day or month that it is. So I'm not going to say anything.
It's a leap year, so it kind of does kind of throw everything off.
Like, yeah.
You're never really sure where you are anymore.
Well, let's take this episode back to July of 2001.
Ooh, I just graduated eighth grade, getting primed to go into high school.
Yeah.
2001, I'm going to say Toby Keith.
No.
Blake Shelton.
I'll give you a hint, it's a group.
Oh, is it Rascal Flatts?
No.
Okay. Is it a good group?
Yes.
The Nitty Gritty Dirt Band.
No, it's Lone Star.
Oh, Nitty Gritty Dirt Band was just the first thing I could think of. So.
Yeah, the number one song was I'm Already There by Lone Star.
Well, you kick down the fiddle and you kick down the bow.
Yeah,
kick
that's not it. Shoes. And we can't pay for that song, so shut up.
Is that Nitty Gritty Dirt Band or Lone Star?
That's neither, actually.
Did either of them cover it?
I don't know. Maybe. We are going to be talking about a lady named Patty Atkins.
Trace Atkins' mom or grandmother? No. Okay.
Nope. But just Atkins is a real common name in country music. Rodney Atkins, Trace Atkins, Red Atkins.
Atkins diet.
Yeah. So Patty Atkins, no relation to any of the country singers, just a weird coincidence. She is 29 years old in 2001, and she's a single mom. She has a 7-year-old daughter named McKaylee. She's a real good mom. And they live in Marysville, Ohio, which is not a big town, like 25,000 people, kind of a small town.
Yeah, it's small for sure.
Yeah. And she works at the Honda factory in town, which employs like almost 5,000 people. So a lot of the town works at the Honda factory. And it seems like the ones who don't work at Miracle-Gro, which is also there, or Nestle.
Oh, so it's like a factory town.
I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never been there.
Miracle-Gro. That's, you've got to be inhaling some nasty fumes there.
Yeah. Patty has worked at Honda since high school, like since she got out of school. She's worked there for a while. She just got a promotion. She's like a supervisor. She's even up for another promotion coming up. So she's doing really well. She owns a house. She has a 7-year-old daughter. Her life's going great. She has a boyfriend who she's super into.
Also a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Talking soulmate stuff, you know.
Okay. Sounds like things are going really well for her.
Yeah. So Honda every year closes the plant for 2 weeks, 1 week at a time, twice a year. I don't know if it's just to like give the employees a break or if it's to change the line over to the next model. I don't know. But they close down for a week in December for Christmas and a week in July for 4th of July.
That just seems like a convenient time for the employees, yeah. Right? Like it doesn't seem like we got to do something different. Like the employees are the ones doing something different. And so I think they're just getting a break.
Yeah. And they call this shutdown. They get paid and everything.
Appropriate.
But they're off for a week. Patty's really excited about shutdown because her and her boyfriend are going on their first getaway together, like romantic getaway together. They're supposed to be going for the whole week up to a remote cabin in Canada.
Oh, that sounds nice. I thought you were going to say the Poconos.
No. And it does seem kind of anti-American to go to Canada over 4th of July, but we're going to let it slide.
I mean, I guess so, but also kind of like get away from all that noise and mess and go to Canada and remoteness. That sounds wonderful.
Yep.
Have a chance to see a moose in the wild. Oh, be still my heart.
And Patty is just as stoked as you are. So on June 29, 2001, it's a Friday. It's Patty's last day before the shutdown. And she works the 3:30 to midnight shift. So at midnight that night, she's going to be off and done and on her vacation. That's the plan. So her boyfriend also works at the Honda factory, and they're planning on leaving together from work right after work on Friday. So before she goes to work, she drops her two cats off at a boarding place, and she drops her daughter off with her daughter's father, who's going to keep the daughter until Wednesday. And then her sister picks up the daughter Wednesday to Sunday. And then Patty and her boyfriend are supposed to be home on Sunday. So that's the plan.
She's got it all covered.
Yes. And before work, she also has a coworker pick her up and drive to work with her. That way, Patty can leave her car in her garage so it's not sitting at the factory for a week while she's on vacation, because she's leaving with her boyfriend straight after work.
We've done this enough times. I know that this is all going to factor into like them not finding her for 2 weeks because nothing was awry and amiss. Oh, man.
Yeah. Co-workers of Patty's that night say that she's normally the last one out of there. She's a really hard worker. And this night was a little bit different. She was excited to leave. And she was telling everybody all shift, get your shit together, clean everything up. Like, we're getting out of here right at midnight.
I love that.
Yeah. And it turns out she clocked out at midnight exactly. 12 a.m. and 19 seconds.
Oh, no kidding. She was waiting for it.
Yeah. And she was seen at the time clock and then walking up the stairs to the parking lot. And then she's gone. Off on her vacation, remote cabin. She's out of there. So her sister doesn't hear from Patty all week, but that was the plan. She was going to a remote cabin in Canada. This is 2001. Not everybody has cell phones anyway.
True. Very true. Yeah.
And even if she did, it doesn't. Probably wouldn't work in Canada.
It's still weird to do international. Yeah. So yeah, probably not.
Yeah. So her sister isn't expecting her to call, but Sunday, July 8th, she's expecting her to pick up her daughter.
Yeah. And her daughter has probably been really excited to see her too. And they've been talking about it and getting her all ready, I bet.
Exactly. But noon comes around and she hasn't heard from Patty at all. So she starts calling her. Every 10 minutes, she calls her for a couple of hours. She gets no answer. There's no word from Patty. She thinks like, okay, maybe they're stuck in traffic. But even if that was the case, she would think that she would call her. They would have to be near civilization by now.
For sure.
So by 2 or 3 p.m., she's pretty worried. So she calls Patty's boyfriend's house. And his name has never been publicly released by anybody, the police or anybody. So we're just going to call him Brian, because that's his fucking name. And I don't know why they don't release it.
Why won't they release it? And how do you know that?
Well, his name is all over the internet, but the police have never publicly released it. So I'm probably going to bleep that out because I'm sure there's some legal reason why nobody says his name. Even in the Crime Watch Daily episode of this, Dateline, every podcast, every YouTube video, nobody says his name, but it's all over the internet. So we're going to call him Byron.
All right, Byron.
So her sister calls Byron's house and his wife answers the phone.
Wait, mm-hmm. Called Byron's house, who was on a romantic getaway with his girlfriend?
Yeah.
But his wife answered. Oh.
Yes.
Busted.
Yeah. And it turns out that her sister knew he was married. She also knew that he ran auto repair business, like from his house or on the side or something. So she pretended to be a customer from the auto repair business and asked to speak with him. And the wife was like, oh, he's not home. He's supposed to be home later this evening. I'll have him call you back, whatever. And so they hung up and it actually made her feel better because she's like, okay, well, maybe they're just not home from Canada yet.
Yeah, that'd make me feel better.
Yeah.
So everybody knows that he's married except the wife, right?
Okay, so that's where it gets iffy because no. I mean, yes, everybody knew they were married, but nobody knew about him and Patty.
Except the sister.
Exactly. So okay. Patty had told one of her really good friends that she worked with and her sisters, but nobody else. And nobody else at work knew. Even her coworker that knew never mentioned it at work. They didn't do anything unusual at work. Nobody had any idea they were having this affair.
Oh, wow.
And the sister did not love that he was married, but Patty was 29 and she was in love. Like, what was the sister going to do? Be like, you can't see him?
Yeah, I guess.
She's going to do what she's going to do.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, and she told her sister that, you know, he had a bad marriage. He was on his way out. It was a loveless marriage, you know, that whole thing that they always lie and tell their mistresses. But he said the only reason that he hadn't left yet was because he owned this car repair business with his brother-in-law. He had to buy out his brother-in-law or he had to put money into the business to be able to sell his shares. There was something weird about the business and that's why he was still married.
He just didn't want to have to split it with her.
I guess, yeah.
Okay.
And that's what Patty told her sister and her friends. That's the only reason we knew, is because of what she's told her sister and her friends. And she also tells them that she's been giving him money to try to sort out his finances with his wife so that he can leave, which nobody liked. Everybody's like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Why would you have to give him money to leave as well? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
but there was something about this business where he had to either buy out his brother-in-law or put more capital into the business to be able to sell it. There was something weird, which none of it makes sense. But when you're in love, you kind of sometimes look past red flags.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
This is one of them.
Exactly. So she tells her sister that over the like 18 months that they've been seeing each other, apparently she gave him about $20,000.
Oh, man.
Which is a lot of money now, but in 2001 went a lot farther than it does now.
A lot more money. Yeah.
Yeah. So none of this is like sitting right with the sister anyway. Like she doesn't like this relationship. She doesn't like this guy. But calling and the wife saying he wasn't home yet either was like, okay, well, maybe they're still gone. So she waits a few more hours and she still doesn't hear from Patty. So when she calls Byron's house again, Byron answers the second time. This is later that evening.
Oh, whoa.
She says, hey, where's my sister? And he's like, who's your sister? Like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Patty, my sister, you guys went on a romantic getaway for the last week in Canada. Like, where is she?
Which is a fair question, I think.
Yeah. But she says he was like stumbling over his words and like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't even know a Pat. Oh, Patty from Honda. He was trying to make it seem like they had no relationship.
Really?
Oh, he just knew her from work.
Wow. Okay. So he wasn't expecting to get caught so quick either. He thought he'd have a little bit of time.
Right. So she tells him, I know you've been having an affair with my sister and you were supposed to go away with her for a week. Where is she? And he just was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm married. I wouldn't be going on a romantic getaway. Like, I have no idea what you're talking about. So they hang up and she immediately calls her family and is like, something is really bad. He's pretending like he doesn't even know her.
Who does she call first? Do you know?
Her brother.
Okay, good. Because I would think just calling your parents like that, man. Yeah, okay. Call your brother. I think that's a good plan.
Yeah, it's sad too because she called her sister too. And her sister was visiting their mom in Indiana. So her mom knew right away too. Which, I mean, you have to tell your parents, but it does seem like, oh, maybe we shouldn't. But
yeah.
They knew pretty immediately that something was wrong. But immediately to them is July 8th. She hasn't been seen since June 29th.
Oh, right.
This is already over a week.
And where is she? Between there and Canada?
Yeah.
Somewhere in between? Anywhere, really?
Yeah. It's weighing on the sister. Where could she be? What's going on? She starts thinking about all the money that Patty's loaned him and about how nobody knows about their relationship. Like, he was surprised to find out that her sister knew when she called.
Right.
You know, and her all this stuff is, like, going through her sister's mind, and she's just like, oh, my gosh. Patty told me that she was going to start making him pay back some of the money that she loaned him starting in July. You know, like, all this stuff's going through her mind. So she decides to call back at, like, 2 or 3 in the morning. And his wife answers. And she just decides to tell her, look, my sister's been having an affair with your husband for years now.
Wow.
And they were supposed to go on this romantic getaway for the last week. Like, she tells her everything. They're supposed to be going to this remote cabin in Canada where they weren't going to have cell service for a week. And the wife is, like, buying none of it. Well, he's been here all week. I don't know what you're talking about.
He's been there all week?
Yeah. And
oh,
the sister's like, whoa. But he told her that they wouldn't have cell service. He told her that they were going to be alone, that it was getting closer to the divorce. Don't bring any clothes. We'll buy all of our clothes when we get up there.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not a thing?
Yeah. And if it's a remote cabin in the middle of nowhere, you think there's going to be like a Mervyn's or what?
A Mervyn's. Great reference. But seriously, do people travel and just buy their clothes when they get there?
No, of course not. No.
Right? Was that really what he said to her? Like, yeah. Like, hey, we'll buy our...
Uh-huh. He told her not to bring any bags or clothes or anything.
Patty, come on.
I know. It gets worse. There's a lot of big things where it's like, what is happening?
Oh, my but God.
She did bring a bag anyway, brought a small duffel bag with some personal items and lingerie. She thought this was going to be a romantic week for them. In the last 18 months, they could not have had very many of. Most people agree that they only saw each other outside of work a very minimal amount of times.
Oh.
That this affair was definitely emotional, not as much physical.
Oh, you know this is almost, yeah, this is almost like an online relationship before an online relationship.
Yeah.
Or like pen pals, I guess, before that. Yeah.
This was also so secretive that he had a plan for getting out of work without anybody seeing them leave together. And instead of the plan being like, okay, I'll pick you up at your house after work, the plan was for her to leave her car at home, come to work, and then when she clocked out, go out to the parking lot and crawl in the bed of his truck under the tonneau cover and then close the tailgate behind her. You know, so she's in the bed of his truck, but there's a tonneau cover on the top.
Why on earth?
Because he carpooled with another coworker and he was driving that coworker home. So he wanted her to get in the bed of the truck and close the tailgate, and then he would drive the coworker home, and then after he dropped the coworker off, he would pull over and then let her in the truck, and then they would go to Canada.
Wow.
This is the plan. This isn't like speculation. This is what she told her sister the plan was. And her sister was like, oh my God, this is crazy. But she said that Patty said the whole sneaking around part was part of the excitement.
I get that part. I understand that part, yeah, but
fuck that. Like, this I'm not is riding just, in the bed of a truck.
Yeah, 29.
Get real.
It's just kind of silly.
I mean, I don't really know about being the mistress. I've always been the wife. I've been married since I was like 19. So I don't know how like being the mistress works.
On and off.
Yeah. But I don't think I would be going through all of this. And if somebody told me that we were going on a trip with no cell service in 2001, I guess was more reasonable, but with no phones in general and don't bring any clothes, like what in the hell are we going to wear?
I told Christine I wouldn't even have dated her if she was on the other side of the freeway. So I'm definitely not going through all of this.
Yeah.
And for the record, I would have dated her even if she was on the other side of the freeway, but it's
I don't think you would have. You would have never gone on the freeway. You would have been like, no, I'm not going on that side of the freeway.
Had it been previously, I would not have crossed over to the side that I was then living on because I never went to that side of the freeway. So you're probably right if I'd still been on like the west side of of the freeway.
Yeah.
But on the eastern side when I was living up there.
I forgot that you did move over there. Yeah.
Yeah. So
anyway.
It's still up in the air, but maybe.
Either way, this relationship was extremely inconvenient for Patty.
Yeah, seriously.
And extremely secretive. He didn't even realize, because he told her not to tell anybody. So he didn't even realize that her family knew and her friend knew. He didn't know that. He thought nobody knew about them.
That she pursued, and he was just kind of like, okay, this is easy. If she's going to make it easy, I'll hang out. Yeah, but you think so?
I don't know. No, I don't. And you'll find out why.
Oh, okay.
So after the sister is on the phone with the wife for 15, 20 minutes explaining to her all this crazy shit, the wife just pretty much denies all of this. She's like, no, there's no way. He works too much. He's home when he's not at work. We have kids. Like, there's no way. And eventually she gives the phone to Byron.
Oh, man. Good luck with that.
If somebody calls me at 3 a.m. and tells me that my husband's having an affair and all this shit and says everything that her sister just says, I'm not just going to hand the phone to my husband. Like, heads are going to roll.
For multiple reasons. And I think that's a fair way to go about it. Yeah.
Yeah. But this wife just hands the phone to Byron. Here, talk to this lady. I don't know what the hell's going on. So then,
to be fair, too, though, like, imagine getting this phone call and being like, I have no idea what's going on. You take it.
Maybe. But I don't think that's how I'd respond. I really don't.
I don't think it's how you'd respond either. You have the patience of the Hulk, so.
So, funny. So, Byron takes the phone, and he spends the next, 45 minutes asking her sister questions, talking to her sister on the phone and asking her questions.
I would not give that guy 45 seconds.
Well, the sister was the one that called him, and she wants to know where her sister is, so of course she wants to talk.
He's gonna lie!
Yeah, but why did he talk to her on the phone for that long? She realizes he didn't know that she knew. So he was asking her all these questions to know what she knew. He needed to get ahead to find out what the sister knew. Because he had no idea that she even knew about their affair.
Oh.
Because if they weren't having an affair, he would have just been like, you're fucking crazy, and hang up on her.
Yeah, no doubt.
Or, oh my God, my friend from work is missing. What can I do to help you find her? Like, he wasn't doing any of that. He was asking her questions. So her sister realizes that this is all wrong. The way the wife reacted, the way the boyfriend, you know, everything is wrong. So she calls the cops and reports her sister missing right away. But right away, like I said, is a week after she's been seen.
Yeah.
Of course, the cops do the whole, like, she's an adult and she was going away with her boyfriend for the week. Like, she'll come back. Relax. But nobody else was doing that. Everybody else was like, she would never miss work and she would never not pick up her kid. Neither of those two things would ever happen. So everybody knew that it was pretty serious. And eventually the police also believe that it's serious when she doesn't come back. So they interview Byron and the wife and ask, hey, what's your deal? What's your story about what happened? And the wife says there's zero chance he's having an affair, that he was home or at his job the entire week except one day when he went fishing.
Well, there it is. Found it.
Yeah, bingo. She also says that he was home by 2:30 a.m. on the night that she went missing. That Friday night that they were supposed to leave straight after work. The wife says he was home by 2:30 a.m.
Okay, so what? What? She was off at 12.
Yeah, so is he.
That's enough time to, you know, kill somebody.
Of course, absolutely. That time does not add up correctly.
Did she say what he was? Oh, that was when she thought he was fishing. He was actually at work.
No. He went fishing one of the other days of the week that he was off. But she said that Friday night, he was home by 2:30 a.m. So he left work at midnight and she says he was home by 2:30. I'm okay. Yahtzee. So the police are like, about that. It only takes like a half an hour or 45 minutes maybe to get home. He didn't live right next to the factory, but he lived in a suburb not that far away. Doesn't add up. Like, where did the other 2 hours go? And he was like, oh, well, I had to take that coworker home. And they were like, okay, there's 10 minutes. Where'd the other hour and 50 minutes go? And his story is that he and the coworker went through the drive-thru at Burger King.
Oh, wow.
And it took 45 minutes in the drive-thru at Burger King.
Is anybody believing this?
Well, even if you did, you're still missing an hour. Even if you took the coworker home, sat in the Burger King drive-thru for 45 minutes, you still are missing an hour. Like, that would still put you home at like 1:30.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't add up. And they went to the Burger King and talked to the manager. And the manager looked up their records and everything. And apparently they did like $18 in sales between midnight and 2 a.m. that night. So there's zero chance that he was in the drive-thru for 45 minutes, just based on their sales alone. They weren't busy enough to have that long of a wait.
Yeah.
Plus, the manager said even when they're busy, nobody would wait 45 minutes for fucking Burger King.
That's kind of what I was thinking. Like, just go somewhere else.
Yeah, but the coworker does confirm that they went through the Burger King drive-thru. Now, there's nothing that says the coworker said it took 45 minutes, but he did say they went to Burger King on the way home. So none of this is adding up, clearly. So the cops ask him to take a polygraph test. You know, Byron, the boyfriend.
Yeah, right, of course.
And he does, which is not the move.
We would not do that. No, we don't recommend doing that at all.
No. And it didn't work out for him either because his polygraph test showed deception when he was saying that he wasn't having an affair with Patty and all that, you know, and that he didn't do anything to her.
I think we saw that one coming, right?
Yeah. The police don't explicitly say that he failed the polygraph, but they say it without saying it. When they're interviewed, they're like, yeah, he showed deception on his polygraph test. Okay.
Yeah, he did it.
So he failed.
Okay. Right. He lied. We get it.
Yeah. So when they look into Patty's financial records after she goes missing, they find the large cash withdrawals that she's been loaning him, you know, the $20,000 over the 18 months.
Yeah.
From her savings account, which sucks. That was like her whole savings account. But she also took out personal loans, sold stocks, and took a loan out on her 401k.
Oh, geez. Just everything.
Mm-hmm. And the payments for the loans for the 401k and the other personal loan without penalty, the first payment would have been due in July, which is why she was telling him he had to pay her back. Because she had to make payments on those loans and she didn't want to get fees. And when they add all this money up that she had taken loans out for and pulled cash out of the bank, it ended up being over $90,000. It wasn't $20,000.
No way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Over 18 months?
$90,000 in 2001.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. It's bad enough that she's lost all of her, like, you know, savings, but then... Mm-hmm. These loans on top of it just make it awful.
Yeah, now she's in debt and she sold her stocks in Honda that she had. She's taken money out on her 401k. Like she was in a real bad place financially because of all the money that she was taking out to loan him to get a divorce. And her whole reasoning was like, as soon as the divorce goes through, everything's fine. He's got the business. He's got he could pay me back. Everything will be fine. We're going to get married and have kids anyway. So it's like all good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So they search house. No. So they search Byron's house. I know. I keep saying his real name by accident. So they search Byron's house. And in the house, they find a birthday card from Patty that he says a bunch of his coworkers got him, except that it's only signed by Patty.
Right. Was there any other birthday cards there?
No, no, no. They also find a Hard Rock t-shirt from Florida, you know, from the Hard Rock Cafe. And her other sister that lives in Florida was with her when she bought that shirt for her boyfriend and told the cops about it. If you find a Hard Rock shirt from Miami, she bought him that, which they did find. They also wow. found a Harley Davidson phone that somebody else was with her when she bought him that. And they also found a concrete pad that was freshly poured in his backyard that the cadaver dogs hit on.
Oh, no way.
Mm-hmm. They also found a tonneau cover for his truck rolled up in storage, not on his truck anymore.
Right.
And they thought that was interesting because he had never had that tonneau cover before. He bought it that Friday before they went on that trip. So the 29th. And then by the 6th of July, he had taken it off.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And his excuse for that is he said that he bought it for that fishing trip, that he wanted to protect his fishing gear. So after he went on his fishing trip, he took it off, which makes a lot of sense because, you know, you wouldn't want shit that's supposed to get wet to get wet.
I know. That's kind of what I was thinking. Like,
yeah, that makes no fucking sense.
Unless he was like going on a boat and leaving stuff in the like truck bed locked. Okay.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, because that's why I put one on my truck is when we go to California.
Yeah. So
it's
easy
to throw our suitcases and shit back there. And
so if he says he's like going on boats, then okay, maybe it's a
believable story. No, but he wasn't. So anyway, it didn't make any sense. So they test this tonneau cover and the bed of his truck and everything, and they find cat hair and a drop of blood.
Oof. Did he have a cat? Did she have a cat?
He did not, but remember Patty dropped her cats off before work that day at the boarding place?
Oh, right. Oh, man. It's all coming together.
They send the cat hair to Texas for, like, cat hair DNA or whatever. I don't know what kind of testing they do, but they ended up matching it to Patty's cats. So Patty's cat's hair was found in the bed of his truck.
Yeah. Kind of what I was expecting. It makes sense.
Now, the blood spot that they found, they said was too small in 2001 for any kind of DNA testing because it would have consumed the whole sample. And then they wouldn't, if it didn't come up with a match, they wouldn't have any more sample to ever test. So they decided to wait to test that. And that's it. That's the entire, I mean, in 2017, they said they were getting closer to being able to test that blood sample without consuming the whole thing. But it's 2024 and we've never heard that they did it.
So where's Byron now?
He was never charged because there was never enough evidence to charge him with anything. And from everything I could find on the internet, he's still married to his wife and they still live in Ohio and he still runs a auto repair business.
Really? Yeah. Even her cat's hair wasn't enough. Really?
Yep.
In the time, I mean, guess it not. Goes fits right with the story. Like, I'm just so surprised because mm-hmm. of how perfectly it lined up to what the story was, the ridiculous story, but the story nonetheless, it all lines up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's wild.
But without a body, I mean, nobody cases are very rare that a prosecutor will prosecute him.
That's true.
I mean, Harmony Montgomery, just a couple of weeks ago when they charged her dad, that was a big deal because there was no body. So it's very difficult to charge somebody with murder without a body.
Yeah.
And I'm not even convinced, even if they tested that blood, that it would be hers. Because it could be anybody. It could be his. It could be fish blood. It could be, you know what I mean?
I was just thinking, what if it turned out to be fish blood? Like,
yeah, like, it may not even, the cat hair may be the only thing they ever have. But I think there's enough circumstantial evidence, but I'm not a DA. So that brings us to theory land.
Oh, theory land. Oh, great. Okay, cool.
All right. So first theory, only theory, Byron did it.
Oh, that's it? Yeah, it's got to be it.
Yeah.
Like nothing else, right?
I mean, there is like two sub-theories. Is one that he did it alone and that his wife really didn't know he was having an affair. And he was worried that if he didn't start paying Patty back, she was going to start kicking up dust about this. And then his wife would find out. So that's why he did this. Or the second theory is that his wife knew all along and they were swindling Patty to get money out of her. You know, he was pretending to be in love with her and have an affair with her to get money out of her. And then when the money dried up and he had to start paying it back, it was like, nah, let's just get rid of her.
Hmm. I think the first one. I think that's the most likely one, right?
I mean, I would think so, except at this point, that's so obvious. You would have thought that over the last 20-something years, the wife would have been like, hey, you probably were having an affair with her and you probably did kill her, like, and leave him. But she hasn't.
Or she thinks that and just didn't leave.
Yeah. I don't know. And there is one other like pretty rogue theory that he was in love with her. They were having an affair. His wife did not know. And that she accidentally died of carbon monoxide poisoning in the bed of the truck because of the tonneau cover.
Mm.
That like when he went through the drive through at Burger King and drove the coworker home and stuff, that she died of carbon dioxide poisoning. Is it carbon monoxide or dioxide?
I think it's monoxide. But that theory is all well and good, except he wasn't planning to be away for a week.
Exactly. That's, to me, what blows that theory out of the water. It's like,
I think so too.
Okay. Well, then was he just going to vanish for a week and not tell his family?
Right.
Because he was home. Like, it wasn't like he was planning on going away and then didn't. He didn't go away and wasn't planning on going away. So that theory, to me, also sounds very unlikely.
Yeah, I think so too. It's got to be.
Yeah. They also did eventually dig up that concrete pad in his backyard that the cadavers hit on.
Oh,
the
right.
Cadaver
I didn't
dogs
think
hit
about
on
that. Yeah.
Yeah, but they didn't find it. They didn't find anything. No evidence. They didn't find her body. Nothing. So I'm thinking that
really
it was just poured like in the middle of the yard. Like, and they said it was left over from a project. Maybe the project was weighing something down in a lake when he went fishing, and then when he came home, he had leftover concrete and he just poured it in his yard.
It's good as theory as any, right? Like, why else would they hit on wet concrete or at least fresh concrete? That's
yeah,
definitely not what they're looking for.
Mm-mm. But if he used that concrete, you know, pulled like a Scott Peterson, made some homemade anchors or something while she was around, maybe the smell got on the concrete and then he went and poured the concrete in his yard. I don't know. I don't know if that's how it works or not, but
yeah.
So her daughter McKaylee is now older than her mom was when she went missing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So she was raised by her aunt. She went on to be, I mean, she's super smart. She's done interviews with Crime Watch Daily and stuff. She has a PhD now.
In what?
Neuroscience, I want to say.
Oh, that's dope. Awesome. Well, I mean, I'm not happy her mom died or anything, but I am happy that she turned out pretty well. And that sounds like she's done pretty well for herself.
Yeah. She still wants to know what happened to her mom, obviously.
Me too.
But the family doesn't seem to have any hope that she's alive. Like, they are pretty confident of what happened to her. They just
I don't
know
think
she
just
is.
Walked off on her own to start a new life.
No.
You know, so
no, and they don't think that either. They had her legally declared dead. They're sure of what happened to her. They just want to know where she is, and they want justice. They want this dickhead in jail, which I don't understand why they can't charge him. But
just, I mean, and let's get this blood tested, right? Like, one way or the other, like, let's just do this.
Well, that's the thing. It's been 23 years. At this point, even if you take him to trial and you lose, at least you tried. That's better than nothing.
We exhume bodies and we're not willing to test a piece of blood because we're not sure? Come on.
Even if you try him and you don't win and he's found not guilty, what's the difference? Right now, he's out living his life doing whatever he wants. At least if you try him, you're trying.
Yeah, exactly. No, I agree.
And I get there. We only have one shot at this, but it's like, dude, dude's in his 50s now.
Yeah, I get it. I would. But again, we're not DAs, so we really have no idea what we're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a really sad story. I don't think I've ever researched a case where I've been like, obviously this happened. What the hell else could have happened?
There's really no other theory, right? Like, I mean, there's just different scenarios in which he did it. It's not like other scenarios in which he didn't do it.
Yeah, allegedly, in our opinion.
In that sense.
I guess we didn't even say his real name, so we can say whatever we want. We could be talking about anybody. Although I did say his real name like 3 times. I'm going to have to edit that out.
Yeah, it's okay. It'll be fun.
All right. Well, that's the story of Patty Adkins. So if you live in Marysville, Ohio, probably don't get your car fixed by this guy.
Yeah, probably not.
All right. Well, do you have anything else? Or are you all good?
No, I forgot a joke for this week. So we'll have to do another
one. You haven't been very good at that since we've been back from our break.
I know. I got a kid and stuff now.
Like, dad jokes should just come naturally to you.
But not like the crime dad jokes, you know. I need some prime crime dad jokes. How about that one? Was that one good?
No, that was just a name. That wasn't a joke. We literally took a break so that you could become a dad. And then you fucked off on the dad jokes. Like, this is bullshit.
All right. I'll work on my jokes for this next time.
All right. Love you.
Okay. I love you too. I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
This podcast has been a production of Orange Halo Media LLC, hosted by Grant and Erica. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review wherever you listen to your podcasts. to chat with us, go to From Crime to Crime on Instagram, From Crime to Crime on TikTok, From Crime the number 2 Crime on Twitter, or you can visit our website at FromCrimeToCrime.com. See you next Wednesday.